thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online if you're watching online. And welcome again to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. My name is Wade, if you don't know my name, and I'm glad you're watching if you're watching, and I'm glad you're here if you are here. I'm excited about Easter this weekend, so don't forget we have two services this Sunday, and the first one is at 9 o'clock, and the second one is at 11 o'clock. So I hope you can hope you can actually make that in person. We'd be glad to see you and be glad to have you. Let me pray for us, and we'll just get right into tonight's message. Father, I just thank you for the ability to get up here again and just share what you put on my heart this week. Lord, I just pray that you would remove me and everything that is said is from you, Lord, that none of my opinions or my thoughts would come out, but only your truth, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you again for a place to worship you. And I thank you for the freedom, Lord, to be able to get up here and share your word. So, Father, I just pray that you would take control of this service and that what you want said will be said. And I pray that you'd soften hearts and open minds, Lord, to receive what it is you have for us tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, so we're going in a little bit different direction this week. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about developing our personal relationship with God and the importance of community, you know, being involved in a community of other believers that can help strengthen our faith and, you know, we can help one another, and how we need community to really help us to grow in our relationship with God. It's hard to grow in a relationship with God all by yourself. You know, we can grow in knowledge of God. We can read the books and grow in knowledge, but we grow in our relationship with God through other people. And we help one another when we're going through difficult times. You know, last week we talked about what can we do when we have a crushed spirit. And our main verse last week was Proverbs 18 and verse 14. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? And we talked about how it's times like those, you know, that you just feel hopeless and you feel like giving up. That's when we need that community around us to comfort us and help us. But even more important than that, we need to have God's word in us so that when our spirits are crushed, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will bring into remembrance, you know, the verse or a passage in the Bible that will give you the hope and the strength that you need to get through those hard times. And I told you last week how I've experienced that in my life, and I'm sure a lot of you have as well. But it's important to get into God's word every day, even when we don't feel like it, and even when we don't feel like we're getting anything out of it. And we talked about how it's important to pray before we get into God's word and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what we're reading. So that's what we talked about last week. If you were here Sunday, I agree 100% with what Josh was saying on Sunday. You know, I do believe persecution and hard times are coming for the church. I don't think it's going to be very long before we start seeing some of that. And, you know, like you said Sunday, nobody knows the day or the time that Jesus is coming back. Nobody knows that. Not even Jesus knows that. So if anybody's telling you anything, you know, he'll be here at a certain time or whatever, you know, don't listen to people that are saying that stuff, because they don't have a clue when Jesus is coming back, and nobody else does either. But we do have instructions on what we need to be doing, you know, concerning his return before he comes back. We need to be ready. You know, the Bible says in a bunch of different places, be ready for the return of Christ. In Matthew 24, verse 44, it says, you also must be ready all the time. Not some of the times, not just on Sunday morning, not just when we're doing our devotions, not just when we come to church on Wednesday nights, but we need to have God in our minds and be conscious that there is a God and he's coming back. We need to have that in our minds all the time, because it says, for the Son of Man will come when he's least expected. So we've got to keep God on our minds all the time. A good way to do that, and I've told you before, is I keep my radio at home tuned to Caleb, and I leave it on 24/7. I never shut it off. That's what I listen to in my van. You know, whatever I'm doing, I do it with believers, or, you know, I try to surround myself with God or the things of God. So we have to be mindful that Jesus is coming, and we need to be ready. Like I said, we do have instructions on what to do before he comes. And I'm pretty sure everybody here has a list of people that you pray for, or at least I hope you do. And I hope I'm on it too. But you're on mine. Everybody here is on mine. There's a lot of people on my prayer list. But I've got a list of people, you know, specific people that I pray for. And all of you guys are on that one. And I pray for everybody that's watching online too. You know, I think it's really important that we lift each other up in prayer all the time, not just when we're going through a sickness or a hard time, but all the time. I pray that the people of God will stay close to God and grow stronger in their faith. You know, I pray that they will grow closer to God. It's good to pray for each other, you know, when we are sick and stuff, but or when we are having health issues or going through a hard time financially or whatever it is. But I think it's just as important, or probably more important, for us to pray for each other all the time about our spiritual health. Because if we're, you know, healthy in our bodies or healthy financially or whatever, and our spiritual health is not where it needs to be, that's not going to do you any good when Christ does return. So most of my prayers are for people's spiritual health. You know, I do pray for people when they're sick. I do pray for them when they're going through a hard time. But most of the time, I'm praying about people's relationship with God. And most of the people on my prayer list, you know, don't even go to church here, or most of them don't go to church at all. And they're not having a hard time financially or sick or anything else. Most of the people that are on my list are lost. You know, they've never surrendered their lives to Jesus. And, you know, that really bothers me. It bothers me when, you know, when you guys are having a hard time, and I'm glad to pray for you. But it really bothers me that people that I know and people that I love don't know Jesus. Because I know he is coming back. And I don't want them to be in that state when Jesus does come back. You know, I pray for them every day that their eyes will be open and they could see their end if they're not ready when he comes back, or if they die without Christ. So that's one of my main prayers every day, is I pray for the lost people, especially the lost people that I know. One of my devotions this week has stuck out to me, and like it does pretty much every week, but I want to share that with you. It said, most people can't get to God. It's not because they don't want to get to God, but they can't get to God because they won't make a definite decision in their heart about sin. You know, they won't make that definite proclamation in their heart that I'm done with that. I'm done with sin. I'm done with whatever's holding me away from God. I'm going to give it up, and I'm going to surrender my life to Christ. They never make that definite decision. They'll admit, I need God. They'll admit, you know, this is not right. I need God's help. But they won't get to the point where they make that definite decision and say, I'm done with that completely. You know, here I am, Lord. And once we do that, when we come to God and say, I'm done, and we do completely surrender and give control to God, then the Holy Spirit will come in and he fills us. And we won't have that empty feeling that we're so afraid that we're going to have if we do give up completely. You know, that's what I've told you before. That's what kept me from coming to God for a long time, because I thought, once I do, I'm still going to have the desire to do all these things that I'm doing now, and I'll be miserable the rest of my life. But when you surrender to God, the Holy Spirit comes into you right then, and he fills you up, and you don't have that empty feeling that you're afraid of. You know, that is a lie from the enemy. So you won't have that empty feeling that you're afraid of when you give that thing up, whatever that thing is for you. Josh talked Sunday about a foothold. You know, when we're trying to shut the door to our sin, we'll stick our foot in there and kind of keep the door open a little bit, or we'll put a stick in there so the door can't shut all the way. Because in our hearts, we haven't really decided that I am done with that. We've got to the point where we realize we need God's help, but we don't want to shut that door completely. We always give ourselves access to open it back up, and because we haven't really decided that we are done with that. And we blame it on the enemy all the time, when most of the time it's our own foot that is in the door, keeping that door from shutting. It's our own desires that are not allowing us to fully surrender to God. You know, we want to come to God, but we won't give up our backup plan. We always have that backup plan that we don't want to give up. We won't make that definite decision that I was talking about there a minute ago to let the door shut completely and lock it so we can't open it anymore. We don't want to give up access to our sin. I remember one year, I was at the Johnny Hunt's men conference, and he made a pretty bold statement, and I really liked it. It got my attention because that's where I was at the time. He said, "You know why people have a hard time getting rid of their sin?" He said, "People love their sin. They don't want to get rid of it." And that's where I was for a long time. But that's the truth. We don't want to give up access to our sin. We become spiritual pack rats, if you want to put it that way. And we'll just stick things back in a corner somewhere just in case we ever need it. We don't want to completely throw it away just in case I might need that later. You know, we might let the door shut, but like I did for a long time, we put tape on the latch so the door looks shut, but you can still open the door. And if we don't make that definite decision about sin, we will always return to it. If we leave the door cracked, if we leave access, if we leave a way out, you know, we will always return to it. It may take a while. It may take a long time. But if you leave a way to get back there, eventually you will make it back there. And just like I've been telling you, the Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance God's word when you need it. It works the same way with sin. As long as you leave that door cracked, if you leave access to your sin, and as long as you allow that foothold to be there, the enemy will keep bringing that right back to your remembrance. Just like God will bring up his word in your remembrance to help you through hard times, the same thing will happen in reverse. If you still leave the door open, if you leave access to your sin, the enemy, or even your own conscience, when you're going through a hard time, will say, "Well, this used to help you." You know, he'll bring that into your remembrance and that'll be louder to you most of the time than the Holy Spirit is. And it'll draw you right back into the same sin that God just got you out of. So when we shut that door, we need to shut it completely and don't give ourselves the option of going back to that. You know, even if you've stuffed it so far down you can't see it anymore, like I was talking about being a pack rat, and like I said, sometimes it takes a while. Even if you think you've forgotten all about it, as long as you've left that door cracked and as long as that is an option in your mind, as soon as you have a bad day or start going through a hard time, not just the enemy, but your own sin nature, your own desires, they'll remind you exactly where that thing is, and it'll deceive you like it did before into thinking that that sounds like a pretty good idea right now, you know. Because a lot of times when we sin not because it's ugly, because it looks good to us at the time. That's why we do those things. And, you know, if our circumstances don't fit it, we're really good at justifying what we do. "Well, I only did that because I was going through a hard time and I needed it to help me get through." You know, that's what God's word is for. That's what community is for. That's what we're for, to help one another through those hard times, that we need to depend on God for his help and not our old coping habits. But as long as we leave that to be an option to ourselves, we will eventually return to it. I know I spent a lot of time there myself. And that's why most of the people on my prayer list are the ones that are stuck in that cycle. You know, they keep doing the exact same things that I used to do. They do believe in God and they want to get to Him, but they just won't make that definite decision to actually finally give it up for good and give up all the access to it and make it where it is no longer an option. Because like I keep saying, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm doing that on purpose. So as long as you allow it to be an option, you'll wind up using that option eventually. I told you, you know, I do believe and I know Jesus is coming back. And I shared with you, you know, I don't want the people that I love, the people that I know that are not surrendered to be in that state when Jesus does come back. So I got some more verses I want to share with you and show you why those people are at the top of my prayer list. And I hope it changes your prayer list. I hope it puts them a little higher on the priority scale. You know, we already read in Matthew 24, verse 44, that we need to be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when he's least expected. But if we keep reading in verses 45 through 51, this is what it says. And this is where I hope all of you are. It says, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while? And this is not where I hope you are. This is where all the people I pray for are. And he begins beating the other servants and partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, verse 46 in the King James Version, it says, blessed is the servant who is doing what the master says when he comes back. And that's why I try, you know, not just on Sunday or Wednesday or when I'm doing my devotions, no matter what I'm doing, you know, if I'm at work, if I'm stopped somewhere to get gas, no matter what I'm doing, I try to be mindful Jesus could come back any second. You know, I try to live. I won't be ashamed if he showed up right now. You know, it says, blessed is a servant who is doing what the master says when he comes back. And the people at the top of my prayer list are not doing what he says. And I hope they're at the top of your prayer list too. You know, we're not here to judge people's sins. We're here to lead people out of sin. You know, we say it all the time, almost every week. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. We're ambassadors for Christ. You know, it says, as God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. You know, we are God's ambassadors here. We're his representatives. We're supposed to be trying to get people to come back to God. So, I want to get into a little bit of why we don't do that a lot of times. We're supposed to share the gospel. And when Jesus does come back, like we just read in those verses in Matthew, it's too late to share the gospel then. They've missed their window. You know, there's no more time to accept Christ. There's no more time to share the gospel with them. And all those people that we love that are lost, like it said in Matthew 24 and verse 51, it says they're counted their place with the hypocrites. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They'll be cut to pieces and assigned their place with the hypocrites. And, you know, that really bothers me. We can see another example of that in the parable of the 10 virgins, or the 10 bridesmaids. The King James Version says virgins, but the NLT calls them bridesmaids. But in Matthew chapter 25, I'm not going to read the whole parable, but that's what it's talking about, is 10 bridesmaids. There were 5 wise bridesmaids, and there were 5 foolish ones. And the 5 wise ones bought oil for their lamps and trimmed their wicks, and the five foolish ones didn't. And when the master did come back, and that's a picture of Jesus Christ's return, the five foolish ones weren't ready. And it says in verse 10, and while they went to buy, they had to leave and go buy some oil for their lamps. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Like we read a minute ago, he's going to come in the minute you least expect it. And the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know, the five that were foolish just kept putting it off. And I know a lot of people, they just keep putting it off. And they'll get convicted and they'll come to church for a day or two. And then the conviction leaves. They think maybe they've earned a few points or something. Either way, they get to the point where they're not feeling guilty or condemned or shameful anymore. And they go outside and they go right back to the life they were in before. Because they didn't make that definite decision that we keep talking about. They left that door open, they left the foothold, and they left that option open to go back. And that's what we will do every time. So because they didn't shut the door and make that decision about sin, when the bridegroom did come, he shuts the door. And that's the door that matters. You know, we think our door don't matter that much because it's my stuff. I'll deal with it later, like Josh said Sunday. It's no big deal. I'll just keep the door closed and nobody can see it. But this door, when Christ shuts that door, nobody can open it. No man can open it. It's too late after Christ returns. And, you know, we put the focus on lost people all the time, people that are struggling. But for some reason, this verse has been in my mind all week. In Luke chapter 18, in verse 8, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And it's talking about when Jesus does come back, he'll avenge all the people that are praying to him speedily. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, is he going to find anybody that is truly doing what he says to be doing? Will he find any faith on the earth? Like I said a minute ago, it's really easy for us to read a verse like that and think about all the people that are just out there living in active sin and ignoring God and, you know, going right along with the world and living to please themselves just for today. And that's where I spent most of my life. But when we read that, you know, is Jesus going to find any faith when he comes back to the earth? That's who we think about. We think about those people that are not in church. We think about people that are just living active, sinful lives. But what about, you know, what about us? And that's what I was talking about a minute ago. It makes me think about the verse we just read in Matthew 24, verse 46. It says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. You know, that's why I'm so careful, or I try to be anyway. You know, I'm not perfect. I screw up every day, multiple times a day. But I try my best to be ready for, you know, what if Jesus comes right now? You know, it says, will he find any faith on the earth? So that verse really gets my attention. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, is he going to find faith in me when he comes back? I think for myself and as a church, we need to switch our focus. I know God really revealed this to me when I was going through, you know, trying to get over my addiction, trying to get my life straightened up and stuff. My focus wasn't on anything but me. All I thought about was how pitiful I was, you know, what a wreck I made of my life. And all my thoughts were, I didn't think were selfish, but they were. You know, I wasn't praying for anybody else. I was praying for myself. And all I could think about was what I needed. So I can't be focused on myself and my problems all the time and do what I'm called to do. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. We just read that. We're called to be witnesses to the lost and lead people to Christ. if my focus is always on me and my problems, then there is no way I can do what God is calling me to do. I have to trust God that if I bring my problems to Him, that He's working on them. And I have to trust Him that while I'm doing what He asked me to do, that He's going to take care of what I need taken care of. I can take my focus off of my problems and focus on what He's called me to do because I trust God that He is working on my problems. You know, we just sung that song a few minutes ago. He's a good, good Father. He's not going to call you to do something and then let your life fall apart while you're doing it. He will step in and help you. And that frees me up to focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's why community is so important. And I know I keep getting on community every week. But, you know, if we get to the point where we're all helping one another, you know, nobody's overwhelmed with trying to take care of all their problems by themselves all the time. And that's where I was for a long time. I had all these problems, and I wouldn't ask for help. You know, I learned the hard way that nobody was helping me with my problems because I wasn't sharing them with anybody. I wouldn't tell anybody I had a problem to deal with. I wouldn't tell anybody I needed help in anything. I don't know if it was because of my pride or because I was ashamed I had problems. I don't know. But I remember I would get so mad and frustrated, and I would think to myself, why is nobody helping me? You know, can't they see me struggling with these things? And, you know, God started speaking to me. He was like, nope, they sure can't, because you haven't told them about it. You haven't shown them that you have problems. And I learned that I wasn't growing in God because all I was focusing on was my problems. You know, I was too busy juggling all my problems and trying to cope with them, but not solving any of them. You know, I'd work on them until I was blue in the face, but I wasn't getting anywhere. All I was doing was just staying consumed on my problems all the time. And the reason I was doing that is because I hadn't shut my door all the way. You know, every time things would get hard, I would turn right back to my old coping mechanisms. And for me, you know, mine was drinking and isolation. I'd go get me something to drink and get alone by myself somewhere and feel sorry for myself and throw a pity party. But everybody has their own coping mechanisms. You know, yours is probably different than mine, but, you know, if we're not surrendered to God and dependent on Him and His people to help us through our problems, then that's what we run to. We run to what's familiar. And then while I was doing that, like I said, I sure wasn't praying for other people. I was too busy praying for myself. And the more I got involved in community, and that's when I started learning that people really will help you if they know you need help. You just need to, you know, not be ashamed of yourself and let your pride go and ask for help. This church is one of the most amazing churches I've ever seen. I mean, if you bring up a need, normally that need is met before the person goes out the door. Even big needs. I've seen that happen time and time again. When you stand up and say, I need help, the whole group, the whole community just comes together. And that's what we need. But it's not the community's fault if you're not getting help, if you're not asking for it, if you're not showing them your problems. And I was guilty of that, and I stayed in my problems as long as I did that. But the minute, you know, that I asked for help, it was there. So the more I got involved, the more I learned that people really will help you if they know you need help. So that's what I did. I started allowing people into my life, and I started sharing my problems. And God has shown me through community that we don't have to keep coping with our problems the way we used to. You know, we can solve our problems with the help from God and the help from others. I said last week, if you're suffering with this, you know, maybe I can help you with that. Or if I'm suffering with this, then maybe you can help me with what I'm suffering with. I like this verse, and I think Josh shared this on Sunday too. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. So that says that God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Everything we need is already in the church. You know, not this building, but in the community of us. We are the church. You know, if we'll help one another, everything we need is already right here. We just have to learn how to unite and become the body of Christ that we're supposed to be. And once that we, you know, do truly unite in the Holy Spirit, and that's, you know, what that takes is everybody letting their doors shut, let go of the footholds, and everybody being surrendered to God and in the same spirit. You know, once we unite in the Holy Spirit and become the body of Christ, we can be that Acts 2 church that Josh was talking about on Sunday. I heard something on the radio this week that really got me thinking. I never thought about it before, but in the Gospel of John, in chapter 17, it talks about the prayer of Jesus. Jesus is praying to the Father that we might be one, just like him and the Father are one, that we would love each other that much, and that we would all unite in the Holy Spirit and love one another just like the Father and the Son, just like Jesus and God love one another. So that's what that whole chapter is about. It's about the prayer of Jesus. And when we could get to that place and truly love one another and unite, we would become that body of Christ that it talks about. And a lot of us, you know, we just can't see that. We can't fathom the idea of loving everybody in the church that much so that we could all be one. You know, and that's hard for us to do if we're looking at people through our flesh. We've been so conditioned for so long not to trust people, and I'm guilty of that too. I think we all are if we're honest with ourselves. We're conditioned by society and just the way the world is not to trust people. We're conditioned to judge people. We're conditioned to focus on the negative parts of people instead of what God sees in them, what they could be, the possibilities in people. You know, we don't look at that. All we focus on are the bad things about people. And so we can't even fathom loving people like that. You know, we can love some people in the church, our friends and stuff like that. That's easy. But everybody in the church, what Jesus is praying for is if they're in the church and if they belong to Christ, then we're supposed to love them that much. And Jesus even commanded us to do this. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you." That's not a suggestion, not a good idea. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And that's a hard one to follow. "As I have loved you." I know how much Jesus has done for me. I know how much he loves me. "That you also love one another." And in John 15, in verse 17, he repeats that. He says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." You know, we're talking about be ready, be doing what we're supposed to be doing when Christ returns. You know, will he find any faith on the earth? One of his commands, one of his main commands, is that we love one another. As Jesus loved us, we're supposed to love one another. And that's why that thing I heard on the radio got my attention. What that guy said on the radio was this. He said, Jesus wouldn't pray to the Father for something that's not possible. You know, he wouldn't ask the Father for something that's not his will, that he didn't think he would receive from him. He prayed to his Father in faith. And I'll read you a few verses out of that prayer. In John 17, in verse 11, it says, "Now I am departing from the world." This is Jesus praying to the Father. He says, "Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are." And in verse 21, it's in the same prayer, all these are in the same prayer. He says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and maybe in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. And in verse 23, he says, I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. You know, Jesus said in another passage, love one another. This is how the world is going to know that you are my disciples. And that's the same thing he's saying in this verse. The reason that the world don't believe in the power of God, they don't believe that there is a loving, kind God that wants to save them, is because they're not seeing it in the church, because we don't have that perfect unity that Jesus is praying to the Father for. It says, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. You know, like we read just a minute ago, we're God's ambassadors. We are supposed to be examples of what Christ does in our lives and who Christ is in our lives. And our love for one another should draw people to Jesus. So, it is possible to love one another. You know, Jesus wouldn't pray for something that's impossible. And he would not command us to do anything that is impossible. He wouldn't give us an impossible command. But the only way we can do that is through the Holy Spirit. It is impossible for us if we've still got our foot in the door. If we're not totally surrendered to Christ. If we haven't received the Holy Spirit. Then it is impossible for us to love everybody in the way that Christ loves us. Because he loves us through the Holy Spirit. That's how he loves us. And we'll never be able to do that as long as we have our old sin nature. We hit this verse quite a bit too. And we're going to hit it again this week. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You know, that says, if the first part of that verse says, if we're in Christ, we're a new creature, and old things are passed away. You know, behold, all things are become new. But, you know, the first part says, if any man be in Christ. You know, are you in Christ? Are you part of the body of Christ? Or do you still have your door propped open? You know, do you still have your foot in the door? There's still a wedge in there allowing you access to something that you don't need, something that I don't need. You know, that's a real question. And I've been thinking about that all week. You know, is there something in my door keeping it open? You know, if you're having a hard time loving people, you know, if there's people in the church that you avoid because you have a hard time loving them, you know, Jesus commands us to love one another. And if there's something getting in the way of that, then we need to figure out what that is. You know, I need to figure out what that is for me. Or if you're struggling just wanting to be a part of a community, if you're still wanting to be a lone ranger and isolate, you know, there's a reason for that. And I know there's a reason there for that because I've been there myself quite a bit. And there were the biggest part or reason for me is there were parts of my life that I didn't want to share. And there were things, you know, that I could keep those. The only way I could keep those things was to be by myself, to be alone. Those were things that I couldn't do. In community, things that, you know, God does not allow. So that's why I would isolate, because I was doing things that I can't do in church. And that's what caused me to isolate. You know, anything that I couldn't do in church, God told me that should be a red flag. That, you know, that probably shouldn't be in your life. If that's keeping you from community and you won't be a group of people because you can't do this in that group, then that's probably something you need to get rid of. I know it was something I needed to get rid of in my own life. And I learned the hard way. The only way we'll ever be clean at church or clean in front of God and actually want to be a part of a community is to get my life cleaned up at home before I come to church. And then I want to be part of a community because I know God has washed me and I'm clean and I'm not ashamed of anything. I can come right in, jump in the community and say, what needs done? I'm here to help. And I'm hard-headed. It took me a long time to get there. So God showed me that the reason that I was having a hard time loving people and being a part of a community wasn't that I didn't want to love those people. I just couldn't get around those people doing the things that I was doing. It wasn't that I didn't even like that person. I knew that person didn't do the things that I did. A lot of times I resented people because they were living holy lives, and I knew I wasn't. So I didn't want to get around them because of that. So I had to make the decision to get rid of those things out of my life and let my door shut. And that way I could be a part of the body of Christ or part of the community of God. And when we do that and we get, you know, the Holy Spirit in us, that's when we can get truly united like Jesus is praying to the Father, and we can have all things in common like it. The Acts 2 church we keep talking about. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 44, you know, I was talking about, if I have a need, maybe you can help me. Or if you have a need, maybe I can help you. That's what it's talking about here. It says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. If you haven't read that chapter in the Bible, you should read it. It talks about how everybody sold everything they had, and people that needed help, they gave them help, and they made themselves equal to one another because they realized that God loved all of them the same. And that's a picture of the prayer of Jesus. You know, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to realize that God loves us all the same. He don't want a group of people over here hurting and going through horrible stuff and another group over here laughing and having a good time. It says, weep with those that weep, mourn with those that mourn, and have joy with those that are joyful. And we're supposed to do all those things together. But at that point in my life, I told you before, I loved myself more than anything else. And I didn't even realize it. I couldn't see it, you know. I just thought, poor, pitiful me. I was in a pity party and didn't know it. And I think a lot of people or like that. When you're going through a really hard time, it's hard to get on the outside of that and look in and see what's really going on. But that's why I couldn't commit myself to being part of a community or being part of a body. And I couldn't even, like I said, I couldn't even pray for other people because all I could think about were my own needs and how to satisfy myself. My door was still propped open, and I had not made that definite decision that I keep talking about, that I'm done with this. I'm going to trust God and have enough faith to slam that door and trust God that I'm going to be okay on the other side of it. And, you know, if I'm honest, that was one of the biggest reasons was fear. I didn't know what it was going to be like on the other side of that door. I had never been on the other side of that door. I didn't know what to expect. But I did get to the point, and I did let the door shut and lock and trusted God that I would be okay on the other side of it, and I was. And, you know, that's what I want to tell you. You'll be okay, too. God is faithful. Everything will be just fine on the other side of that door. And so, like I said a while ago, if you're struggling to love people or become part of a community, there is a reason for that, and only you and God know what that reason is. You know, God revealed to me what mine was. Mine was pretty obvious, but only you and God know what your reasons are. And God will help you find out what it is if you're not sure what it is. But like we were talking about beginning, I do believe hard times are coming for the church. I do believe persecution's coming. I don't know what's coming. I don't have a clue what's coming, and I don't think anyone else does either. But I do believe the only way we're going to get through those hard times is not on our own, not by ourselves. I think we're going to need community. We're going to need together, or need to be together. And we need to focus on doing what Jesus says to do so we can be united together and be the community and the, you know, the family of God that we need to be, so we can be close enough that we'll turn to each other when times get hard and be the body of Christ. You know, if all I'm worried about is myself, you know, I can't help you. I can't even help myself. I can't even handle everyday life without the Holy Spirit's help. But, you know, when we unite and we're all have access to the power of the Holy Spirit, we can help each other and we can get through those hard times. Oh, like I said, without the Holy Spirit, I can't even get through everyday life, much less go through persecution without Him. And I really don't want to do that. So we have to get rid of our footholds and get united in the Spirit. And like I said earlier, you know, be doing what the Lord called us to do. And the only way we're going to reach the lost is through the Holy Spirit and being surrendered ourselves. I feel like God wants me to just shut it down right there, because if I keep on going, there was a lot more stuff I wanted to put in this message, but God told me to shut it down right here because He wants me to leave the focus on this question, you know, what's propping your door open? You know, what is your foothold? What is keeping you from loving people? What is keeping you from being part of a community? You know, is it anger, resentment, addiction? It don't really matter what it is. Like I said a minute ago, you and God know what it is. And if you're not sure what it is, pray and ask God and He will show you what it is. But as long as that's there and your door's propped open, you're going to be stuck right there. And you won't join a community, you won't make a commitment to the church, and you won't take that next step. So we need to get with God and talk to Him about it and find out why, what the reason is. And we need to make that definite decision that that's enough, and I am done with it. And I'm going to shut the door, and I'm going to surrender it to God and trust Him that it's going to be better off without that. It's going to be better on the other side of the door. And trust God, and it will be better. I can tell you that from personal experience. And when we all get rid of our footholds, we will unite and be one, like Jesus prayed in John 17, and love one another the way that we're called to love one another. And we'll be the body of Christ that we're supposed to be, that Paul describes in Corinthians. And we can do mighty things for God, working together and loving one another the way that we're supposed to do. But God wanted me to shut it down right there tonight, so that's what I'm going to do. So that's our question that you can think about this week. You know, what is stopping you from getting more involved and being in community and, you know, loving people the way that we should? You know, if you have a hard time loving people, there is a reason for that. There was a reason why I struggled with it. There was a reason why I didn't want to get involved with things. I didn't want to go to classes. I didn't want to be around people. So if that's where you're at, ask God to help you with it. Ask somebody, you know. That's a good way to get in community. That's how I finally got up enough courage, and I cried out for help. And the community came to me. I didn't have to go to it. And it'll do the same for you. But if you're stuck and you want to move on, you're having a hard time doing that, get in the community and you will find the help that you need. But thank you all again for coming out. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're watching online if you tuned in. And I just want to invite you again for Easter Sunday this week. It'll be at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And I hope you can make it. We're looking forward to seeing you. But let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for the message you had this week. I know I needed it, And I do believe that many of us need it, Lord. And I just pray that you'd give us the courage, Lord, to trust you enough to make those changes in our lives that we need to make to truly follow you the way that we should be, to truly love one another the way that we should love one another, and to truly serve you, Lord, and do the work that you've called us to. Father, I just pray for everybody here that you give them safety on the way home. And we just give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory, Father, for all things. Thank you for loving us so much. And, Lord, thank you for, even while we were sinners, you died for us. We just thank you for that amazing love, Lord, that we can't understand. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.